when you open your Bible to the book of Revelation, the first thing you see is large print declaring the revelation of St. John the Divine. And I understand what the translators had in mind when they called this book the Revelation of John. I don't know about the saint and the divine, but the Revelation of John. I understand what they had in mind, that the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ was given to John. The revelation of Christ which was given to John. But the book itself is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what we read, the first five words. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the subject of this book. It's his person as our Redeemer, our Christ, his offices, prophet, priest, and king, his church and kingdom, his return, his glory, his kingdom. That's what this book is all about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, his person and his work. It says, which God gave unto him. This is not saying which God gave to John. This is what God gave to Christ. God gave Christ this office. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. The Lord God, the Heavenly Father, made Christ our surety, our representative. He made him the Christ. That's right. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. While you're finding that, you remember Paul said in Romans that God set him forth to be a propitiation. And we read a while ago, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. It's already condemned. He sent him to save the sinner. And here in verse 49 of John 12, I have not spoken of myself. This is Christ speaking. I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his commandment's life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. So, this revelation, back to our text, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, the office which God gave him, the anointing and appointment which God gave him to be the Savior. Well, to show unto his servants, he shows, he reveals them to us. God spoke to our fathers with the prophets, he's spoken to us by his Son. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. God gave all these things to Christ to make known to his people, his servants, that which must shortly come to pass. And then he sent and signified it by his angel to John. Christ sent and communicated to John, the writer of this book. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, Son of God, prophet, priest, and king. His person and work committed to him by the Father, given to him by the Father, that he might show his people, his servants, his church, his brethren, all things that must shortly come to pass. And then he, by his angel, sent to John on the Isle of Patmos, our John exiled in solitude, alone on the Isle of Patmos, and Christ came. Christ, the angel of the Lord, came and revealed to John this great revelation of the Son of God. Verse 2, who, this is John, John bare record of the Word of God. When I read that, I thought immediately of John's writing over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Turn over there. John says here that John bare record of the Word of God. It says in John 1, verse 1, this is the first thing John wrote when he wrote this book. In the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now skip down to verse 14. And the Word of God was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, born of a woman, made under the law, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare record of the Word of God. And John bare record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? It's the gospel of Christ. It's His deity, His humanity, and two natures. That's what John says here. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him, but He came into this world. And turn to 1 John chapter 1. Listen to John, the beloved disciple here in 1 John. And he said, and that which was from the beginning, that which was from the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the Word of life. For the life was manifested. God was manifest in human flesh. And we've seen Him and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That's what he's saying here in Revelation 1, verse 2. He bare record of the Word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. I saw Him, he said. My hands handled Him. The Word of life manifested. In verse 3 of 1 John, he said, chapter 1, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. That's the purpose of my ministry, John said, to make Him known, to tell you about Him whom I have seen, whom I have heard, that you may have fellowship with us, with Christ, and our fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That's the glorious fellowship. That's the church of the living God. That's the kingdom of God. John, Christ on that island, sent by His angel unto His servant John, this man who bare record of the Word of God, this man who bare record of the testimony, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who never varied, not for a moment, who sealed His testimony with His own blood of the things that He saw. And he says in verse 3, watch this, and blessed indeed is he that reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed is that person who reads privately reads God's Word. I tell you, as long as some of us have been around, none of this book should be strange to us. We've had time. We neglected this book. None of it should be new. Much of it not understood, but not new. The preacher ought never turn to any place in this New Testament that we have not already read. Blessed is the man who reads the words. Reads it privately, reads it with his family, reads it publicly in church, who reads it with interest, who reads it with understanding, who reads it with a desire that other people might know what he says. That's a blessed man. Faith cometh by reading and hearing the Word of God. Then he said, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. Hear it attentively. Hear it with interest. Blessed is that man who's been given ears to hear. Blessed are your ears, Christ said, they hear. Blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed is the man who reads this word, who hears. Blessed is the man who hears it, who has ears to hear. Listen, it may be that you'll read something now that will not bear fruit, but the seed will last a long time. Seed that is sown lasts a long time. Spurgeon tells about a man who heard Whitfield preach when he was 16 years old. Heard George Whitfield preach when he was 16 years old. He moved away from England, came to America. And when he was 75 years of age, God brought to mind that he heard when he was 16, according to his own testimony. And he began to inquire into that which he had heard, and that seed bore fruit, brought him the knowledge of Christ. So, blessed is the man who reads it, who hears it, because even though it may not bear fruit immediately, God said, my word will not return to me void. If it's preached, if it's read, if it's presented, and God sent it by his Spirit, it won't return void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I've sent it. And blessed is that man who keeps these sayings, who keeps those things which are written therein. Keeps them where? In his memory. In his memory. Memorize the Scripture. Be able, even when you don't have a Bible in your hand, to call it to mind. Memorize the Scriptures, for when you're talking to others and there's no Bible there for you to turn to in its pages, you can quote, the Lord said this. But son, this is what the Scripture says. But wife, this is what God says. But this is the way of life. In memory, in thoughts, but most of all in heart. Love his word. Love his word. That's what we do here at this church, is preach the word of God. Blessed, because blessed is he that reads this word, hears this word, and keeps. I'll keep thy word. I'll hide it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Because the time is at hand when all these things shall be fulfilled. The time is at hand. Some of us believe the time literally is at hand for the whole world. Most people that I know believe the time is literally at hand, but we know for certain it is at hand, because it's appointed unto men once to die. And then for some of us who have lived our 70 years and are living on that by the will of God years, it's literally at hand. It is at hand. The time is at hand. See what he says about Christ Jesus. All right, John, so Christ, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, of that which God gave him, the Father, God gave it to him that he might give it to his people. And he committed it to John to write. And John said, I bear witness of the word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ. And blessed is the person that hears me, that reads it, walks in it. So here, John to the 7 churches, what are they? Look at verse 11. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, send it to the 7 churches, which are in Asia. And he names them Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those are the seven churches. Grace be unto you. That's the common salutation. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That's the Father. From him which, Father and the Son and the Spirit. From God, which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits. I say it's from the Father because the seven spirits are the Holy Spirit. Seven being the number of God, the perfect number, which are before his throne. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne. That's the Holy Spirit. Listen. And from Jesus Christ. Someone said he's the second person of the Trinity, and he's usually mentioned after the Father. Go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So usually when you say grace, mercy, and peace to you from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the Son, and from the Spirit, but here, from the Father, the Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. But here's the reason, I believe. He's mentioned last because of the many things that John now has to say about him in identifying him. He identified the Father, which is, which was, which is to come, the Holy Spirit is the seven spirits before the throne, and now from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which occupies this text and occupies this revelation. And it says here in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give you about seven or eight things it says about him here. Number one, he's the faithful witness. Right, if you're taking notes, write that down first. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. The faithful witness. We go back to Deuteronomy 18. Back to Deuteronomy 18. Moses leading the people of Israel. And Moses talked about this witness. What's a witness? Prophet, preacher. One who tells what he's seen, what God's taught him. And one of the offices of Christ, he's a priest and a king, but he's the prophet. And in Deuteronomy 18, verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, a prophet. And I'll put my words in his mouth. What did I say when I read John 12 a while ago? The words I speak are his words, which he gave me. I'll put my words in his mouth. He'll speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. Jesus Christ is that faithful witness. He's that prophet. So many scriptures. I want to show you just a few. If you don't wish to turn to all these, just listen. I'll turn and read them. Isaiah 61, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to the meek. In Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Listen to Malachi. This is the last Old Testament prophet. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I'll send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. That's John the Baptist. And the Lord Jesus, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Who is he? He's the messenger of the covenant. He's that prophet. He's that faithful witness. He's that messenger of the covenant. And then in Hebrews 1, Paul said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. You remember when our Lord took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain? And His glory, the glory of God, just engulfed the Savior, and his clothes glistened. And Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with him. And when Moses and Elijah were gone, the voice of God the Father spake from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him." God has spoken to us by his Son. Hear him. Hear him. All right, back to the text. That's the first thing he says about Jesus Christ in the Revelation. He's the faithful witness. That prophet. Hear him. Hear him. Secondly, he's the first begotten of the dead. What does that mean? He's the first. He's not the first man that rose from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow's son. He raised others. But he was the first, listen, who arose from the dead by his own power to immortal life and never to die again. The first. Lazarus died again. You can be sure the widow's son died again. And all who were raised on this earth died again. But he's the first to come forth from the tomb by the power of God, his own power, to immortal life, glorified body. Glorified body. These people were raised in the flesh. He was raised in a glorified body. He said, "Because I live, you live." Now, the key word, remember this word, representation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the key word. Here's our confidence. Here's our assurance. 1 Corinthians 15. Now stay with me here. Here's the key word. He's the first fruits of them that slept. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death," how did death come? When God created Adam, he breathed into his body the breath of life. He became a living soul. A living soul. But Adam died. And his son died. And his son died. And everybody dies now. Everybody came from Adam dies. He's a representative. Adam's the first man and the only man God created. Everybody else came out of Adam. And by Adam, by man came death, nothing but death, just death. Death, decay, corruption, rotting, annihilation. By man also came the resurrection. For as in Adam we died, in Christ we made alive. There's another man. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are his. They that are Christ, his at his coming. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll identify, verse 47, we'll identify these men. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's Adam, representative of all men. When he sinned, we sinned. When he died, we died. He's the first fruits of corruption, sin, and evil. He's the evil tree, and from an evil tree comes on evil fruit. And the first man is of the earth, earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ, who became a man, not from Adam, but a seed of woman. And he had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin. Perfect. And he is our representative. Adam's the head of his race, Christ's the head of his race. Adam's ahead of those who are his. Christ's ahead of those who are his. And as is the earthy, verse 48, such are they that are earthy. That's all of us. But as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. From God. Now turn to Romans 5, and we'll get a little more light on this. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Now listen to me. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore? Romans 5:12. As by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all sinned. We sinned in him, death passed upon us. Now verse 13 starts with a parenthesis. It's going to talk about that death, you know, and the similitude, and the babies dying, and infants dying, and everybody dying. It begins with a parenthesis. I skip over now to verse 18. You see verse 17, that parenthesis ends. So we just left that statement out, that parenthesis, and we'll read it. Verse 12, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 18, therefore, by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification. Representation. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In the flesh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Adam. First fruits of them that die. All just like him. Then Christ came. Christ representing a people. Surety of a new covenant. A new kingdom. People of God. Chosen in Christ. He came. Born of a woman. Perfect. Lived a perfect life for us. The righteousness of Christ. He lived for us. We were in him. Chosen in him. Accepted in him. Redeemed in him. Glorified in him. He went to the cross and died. We died to sin. He's the first begotten from the dead. Because I live, you live. Because Adam died, I died. But because Christ lives, I live. All right, what's the third thing? Here's the third. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. Most religions and most preachers, most religious folks, present the Lord Jesus Christ in a different light than does the Word of God. I think one word describes the Jesus of this day. Powerless. That's the word. Impotent. Wanting to do a lot of things that he just cannot do. Jesus. Poor Jesus. Sweet little Jesus. They're pitiful. But there's one word in my text that describes him. Look at verse 8. This is Christ speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. That's just the Jesus that the Bible presents and John presents. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness. He's the first begotten from the dead. He's the Almighty. He is the King. He's the Prince of the kings of this earth. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let me read you some scripture. I do want you to turn to this. Turn to Isaiah 45. And we know of whom this speaks. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45. This is Christ. Verse 5, Isaiah 45. I am the Lord. So there's no doubt about whom we speak here. I am the Lord. There's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west, there's none beside me. I'm the Lord. There's none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Down at verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There's no God beside me. I'm a just God and a Savior. You say that's the Father. No, it's the Father, all right, but it's the everlasting Father. It's the Son. I'm the Savior. He's the Savior. There's none beside me. Look to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. There's none else. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return unto me. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. It is written, King of kings and Lord of lords. He said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. He prayed in John 17, Father, thou hast given me all power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Listen to this. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Almighty. The Almighty. Well, he's the faithful witness, first begotten from the dead. He's the Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. And fourthly, he loved us. Look at that. Unto him that loved us. He loved us. We didn't love him. He. This one, this faithful witness, this prince of the kings of the earth, this almighty, he loved us. Our love is the result of his. We love him because he loved us. And he loved us. It wasn't a make-believe. It was, he loved us. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved us. We have people say, I love you. They don't mean it. So many times. Fickle, foolish, changeable, comes and goes. Not his. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He loved us. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' songs. He loved us. He loved us. How could a holy God love us? In Christ. In Christ, the first begotten, the representative, the federal head, the second Adam, the man from heaven. He loved us in him. He gave us to him. My sheep hear my voice. My Father gave them me. My Father is greater than all. All thine are mine and mine are thine. I don't pray for the world. I pray for those you gave me. They're mine. They're mine. I love them. I love them. I love the least of them. I love the weakest of them. I love the oldest of them. He loved us. He loved us. Well, there's no problem revealing whom he loved. You say, well, who does he love? No problem. Read the next line. He loved those he washed from their sins. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know what this shows me? It shows me that these people were loved before they were washed. He loved me and he washed them. They were not first washed and then loved. You clean your life up and come to God. Don't you try that. Don't try that. He loved us and washed us. He didn't wash us. He didn't love us because we were washed. He loved us and then he washed us. His love was the cause of his coming. For God so loved, he gave his Son. His love was the cause of our washing. Washing didn't precede the love. The love preceded the washing. We were unclean. Could not help ourselves in any way. But he loved us. And he shed his precious blood for us. That fountain open for sin. He loved us. It's like whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. It goes back to whom he knew, whom he loved. And whom he loved, he washed. That's right. That's what, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. And I'll tell you how much he loved us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. I love my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. All right, what's the next thing about this, about Jesus Christ? He hath made us kings and priests unto God. You know, a son of a king is a king. He's made us kings. We wear rich apparel, royal apparel. We're clothed in his righteousness. We wear a crown. Paul said, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. We're priests. He made us kings and priests. Whom he loved, he washed. Whom he washed, he made a king. Whom he made a king, he made a priest. Every believer is a priest to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Well-pleasing to God. Sacrifices of prayer and praise and thanksgiving and worship. Kings and priests. Watch this. He loved us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. He made us kings. He made us priests. Not to men. Men don't know who you are. No use trying to cast your pearls before swine. No use. He made us kings and priests to God. God knows who you are. God recognizes you. And there's no way in this world you're going to make, no way you're going to make this world understand who you are. You're not a king to them, and you're not a priest to them. You're not even a preacher to them. You're not a prophet to them. You're a fanatic. You're a radical. You're a cult. But he loved you, and he washed you from your sins, and he made you a king and a priest to God. Remember, to God. His Father. That he just adds that. His Father. And he said, I go to my Father and your Father. Now, to him be the glory. And I'm going to give you one more thing, and I'll close. To him be the glory forever and ever. Verse 7, behold, he comes with clouds. The time is at hand. His coming is certain. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He said to his disciples, I'll come again. I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. The angels, when he ascended to heaven, said, this same Jesus, which taken up from you, shall so come in like manner in the clouds. A cloud receives him up out of their sight, and he's coming with the clouds. That's right. Daniel said that. This is interesting. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel said that in Daniel 7:13. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom
that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion's an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That doesn't sound like a little weak Jesus. Pitiful, impotent. That's the Almighty. He's coming. Behold, he comes with clouds. It's certain. That's the manner of his coming. And every eye is going to see it. Don't you pay any attention to this. I saw a fellow with a shirt the other day. Said this shirt will be empty when the rapture occurs. That shirt's already empty. He didn't know it, but it's empty. And I see a bumper sticker. This car may not have a driver when the Lord comes. It don't have much of one now, you know, thought of that little sense. Ever eyes. You think Christ's going to sneak back into this world? This world spit in his face and crucified him, hung him on a cross, and then he's going to come in the dead of the night and slip his church out the back door somewhere and leave this world going on like it is? Every eye will see it. That's what it says. Isn't that what it says? He's coming in the cloud, and every eye is going to see it. And they that pierced him, every eye, everybody's got an eye, is going to see him. And all the kindreds of this earth, every nation, tongue, and tribe going to wail. Because of what? Because of him. Because of their denial and their rejection, their unwillingness to confess that he's Lord. He's going to come. We're going to see him as he is. Every eye's going to see him. Not as a weak fella hanging on a tree. Not as a baby in a mother's arms. With a vesture dipped in blood. With us on his vesture written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming. And every eye's going to see him. And they're going to weep and wail. Because, verse 8, here he is. I am Alpha and Omega. Write this down. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last. I'm A to Z. Alpha to Omega and everything in between. I'm first and the last. Verse 8, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. Verse 11, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Verse 17, I fell at his feet, and he put his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's the chief and he's the whole of all things. Christ is. Can't preach anything having to do with God if you don't preach Christ. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last in the covenant of grace. Mediator, surety, messenger, testator. He's the first and last in the scripture, both the law and the gospel. He's the first word in Genesis, in the beginning God. He's the last word in Revelation. Even so come Lord Jesus. First and the last in the scriptures. He's the Alpha and Omega of salvation, justification, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. He's first thing in creation, in providence. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. He's the beginning and the end. But you know, actually, this is the language of men. I'm the first and the last. But really, he knows no beginning or end. He is, he was, he is to come. The first and the last, there's no last with him. He is the first and the last. Verse 8, not close. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. The Almighty. That's our Redeemer. That's our assurance. That's our confidence. That's our message. That's our hope. That's everything. That's our life. And I'll tell you what an honor and what a blessing God's conferred upon us that we recognize it, that we know this. You realize They're rare, 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 rare to find a place where you could hear him call what we call him this morning. It's rare. And that's to the condemnation of this world. It's not to our praise, because he taught us what we have by his grace. But it's to his glory and his praise. To God be the glory. Let's sing 449, Mike. 449. To God be the glory. Oh.